In the name of Jesus, amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It sounds obvious, and yet it needs to be said. Many people behave as if life depended on having possessions, lots of possessions, and acquiring more. For many people, that is what gives meaning and content to their lives. All of us have more than we need. All of us. We don't wear out our clothes, we get tired of them. We don't run out of food in the cupboard, it expires. We all have more than we need. And that's not to say that you haven't worked for it and haven't struggled for it, but part of our affluence is simply being born into this country at this time in the history of the world. We are blessed. And yet, people want more and more. And oftentimes, it's so that they can say to themselves, someday, I'm going to have enough, and I'm going to take life easy, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Or to put it in more modern terms, I'm going to take life easy, enjoy the grandkids, indulge my hobbies, and travel. What's the mistake in that? It's not in the having of things. We are blessed by God to be a blessing. The mistake is not in working or having goals. The mistake is that we live as though everything depended upon the plans that we make and the things that we have built. None of those things are solid. One tends to think that, well, this is kind of characteristic of our modern age, but the fact that Jesus tells this parable would show us that, no, this is something people have always struggled with. So Jesus warns us, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then to drive that point home, Jesus tells the parable of a rich man who experiences sudden death. When people die suddenly, that rattles us. You don't see it coming. We talk about people who die suddenly. We talk about what happened to them. And it sticks in our minds. I was 15 or 16 years old when the first person out of our high school class died. And I went to a big high school. I can still remember her name, Patty Copit. 16 years old, car accident, alcohol was involved. And nobody ever thought, well, you're going to get the time's up call when you're 16 years old. And all of us could share stories about people we know that experienced sudden death. Classmates, work colleagues, friends, maybe even family members. One day they're here and the next day they're not. And it could be, you know, car accident, could be heart attack, aneurysm, any number of ways, but the result's always the same. That person's plans, whatever they may have been, however good they may have been, all of a sudden they're over. They're done. They got up that morning, think it was going to be like any other day, and things changed. We could have that discussion about, well, you know, is it better to go quick or to go lingering? And I don't know that there's a lot of how productive that is. And at the end of the day, we all get our turn. And we all know that. But when somebody dies suddenly, it rattles us because we think, or at least we should think, that could be me. One more heartbeat and then no more. That truth can give us some clarity. And Jesus uses that in the parable. We worry about things that really aren't that important. We value things that really aren't of much value. That's part of the reason Jesus tells the parable. Remember what got this started. Someone in the crowd asks Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." That's what the man got. Out of all the things that he could bring up to Jesus, that's what he goes with. Imagine, you know, you're in the crowd that day, and Jesus is close enough to you that you can make a request. You can say something to him, and he will hear you. What do you go with? You know, you go with a family problem like this man did, or, you know, didn't he have like a crippled friend or relative? Didn't he have some personal issue that he wanted Jesus to address? Obviously, this man could have done better. Could have made a better request. The parable of Jesus drives that home. The request the man made was foolish. The things he was concerned about simply weren't that important. Every earthly thing you have will either be destroyed or given away. Your favorite clothes will be given away or thrown away. Prized possessions will become someone else's. The things you have built, have made, or collected will someday be taken from you or gathered by complete strangers. People might even walk by your stuff at an auction or an estate sale and shake their heads and wonder, you know, whoever would have spent money on this stuff? What life depends on must be made clear to us. And this is obvious, but it still needs to be said. Life comes from God. Life comes from God. Your heart started beating because God desired it. You have no recollection of that day, that hour, when God made your heart start beating. God wanted there to be a you. That's why there is a you. You are present in this world because God wanted you to be present in this world. Your worry, your anxiety cannot prolong your life. God is the giver of life. He has given it with a definite purpose. Not only that we should live here for a short time as He determines, but also that we should have life for all eternity. And you have to ponder that. When people get mad at God or angry because somehow He has cut earthly life short, they haven't read the book. God's picture is way bigger than all of that. God is all about life. And the life He is about is eternal. That very familiar Bible passage, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have" what? "Should have everlasting life." Not just for a few decades, but everlasting. God is the giver of life, and because He is the giver of that life, He gives it to you, and He gives it to you in Jesus. That life is yours. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but He has given it. Why would Jesus do that for you? Because He loves you. As a Christian, as a child of God, you have something that can never be destroyed. Never. Fire can burn down your house. Fire can burn up all your stuff. Can't destroy your faith in Jesus. A tornado can come whisking through and scatter your possessions all over the county. Somebody will find your stuff, but you won't. But it can't whisk away the life that is given to you in Jesus. You have been given something solid that cannot be destroyed. Paul reminds the Christians living in Rome, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In today's gospel reading, Jesus does not forbid wealth or even its accumulation. Jesus does not condemn the man in the parable because he's rich. Jesus doesn't say you can't improve your possessions or income. He doesn't say you can't have a savings account, you can't have insurance, you can't have a new RV. Jesus doesn't prevent you from enlarging your house or your barn. But what he would remind us of, those are not the most important gifts. Those are certainly not substantive enough to build a life upon, because they all fail. You have been given something solid in Jesus into which you can anchor and have a life. And that gift is given to you in Christ. So the stuff you have, the blessings you've been given, enjoy them, share them, use them to bless others with, that you might be a blessing. And anchor into the life that is given to you in Christ that can never be taken away. Shortly after Jesus tells this parable, it's in Luke chapter 12, look it up. Jesus said to the disciples, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that is yours. That is yours in Christ. In His name, amen."